All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is a formal meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel. Because it's a meeting on behalf of the Council, I should first, on behalf of the Council, acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next, it is customary for the panel and for the benefit of the public, for the panel members to introduce ourselves, and we will do that now. I'm David Lloyd. I chair this panel. I'm a lawyer. I'm a KC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court and a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. Upon retirement from the court, I was appointed a visiting fellow at the Australian National University and later an adjunct professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mrs. Taylor.
Mary Lynn Taylor. I'm a practicing solicitor and have worked on panels since the inception of the idea, and I have been on the Inner West panel for some years now.
And Miss Cristani.
Thank you, David. I'm Kim Cristani, Life Fellow of the Australian Institute of Architects. I have 40 years experience as an architect. I've been a member of the state government's Metro panel. I was head of architecture and station precincts of Metro up until 2015. I was the city architect at Parramatta from 2015 to 2022. And I'm on a couple of other local area planning panels and design review panels for state and local government. Thank you.
And Ms. Connell.
Thanks, David. My name's Andrea Connell. I'm the community representative on this panel. My background is in schools and educational leadership, particularly schools, public schools, New South Wales public schools, including 25 years as a principal for the New South Wales government. And part of my, I guess, area of expertise has been school operations, school buildings, and public schools amenities.
All right. Next item is declarations of interest, and there are none. So now we can move on to the agenda. The first is a standing item, a report to the panel on pending applications coming to the panel, and that is noted. Next is item number two.
2 o'clock.
This is the development at 40 Charles Street, Leichhardt, demolition of the rear portion of an existing dwelling and extensions to the ground floor and first floor. There are no objections to this proposal. It has been recommended for approval. And I think I'm correct in saying that the panel is prepared to endorse that recommendation.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes.
Everyone says yes. So the recommendation for approval, subject to conditions, will be adopted. Next is item number three, 197 to 199 Alt Street, Haberfield. This is a Torrens title subdivision of an existing duplex into two lots. Again, there are no objections. The application has been recommended for approval, and as with the previous matter, the panel has determined to adopt the recommendation to approve. And I think I'm correct in saying that.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, we now move on to item number four, 10 Short Street, Leichhardt. These are first and ground floor alterations and additions to an existing dwelling at 10 Short Street. No one is registered to speak on this item. It has been recommended for approval. And I think, again, I'm correct in saying that the panel is unanimous in adopting that recommendation.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, we now come to item number five, 72 Johnston Street, Annandale. This proposes extensive work, demolition of existing buildings, construction of two detached dwellings, rear studios, pools, tree removal, Torrens Title subdivision. This has been recommended for refusal. There are two people who wish to speak on this matter. Miss Denise Stacey and Karen Calderazzo, I think. Are you both online? I have to say, in the light of the decision of the panel to adopt the recommendation here to refuse, does anyone wish to say anything on that matter? If not, then the determination will be, again, unanimous. The recommendation for refusal is adopted. Am I correct, panel?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so we can now move on to item number 6, 113 Evans Street, Roselle. Alterations and additions to a building, including reconstruction of part of the front facade, swimming pool, new garage, third floor over the front building, a roof terrace, and conversion to a single dwelling. And we have a number of people who wish to address the panel on this one. It has been recommended for approval subject to conditions. Now, is Lynn Stevenson online, please?
Yes, I am.
You and James Stevenson, of all people.
I know David Lloyd. We were legal colleagues together.
All right.
But Lynn will be doing the speaking for us, David.
Who wishes to address the panel, Lynn or James?
I will.
All right. First of all, for the record, your name and address.
My name is Lynette Robin Stevenson, and I live at 111 Evans Street in Roselle.
And for the record, you are next door?
Yes.
On the northeastern side?
Yes.
Yeah, all right. Proceed.
We have just a few objections. We understand and acknowledge that the building needs to be brought back to life and returned to a state in which a family can live a good life. However, we do have a few concerns that while the heritage report speaks to the notion that the building could still be read as it currently does to the people in the Valley Heritage Conservation Area, we as residents are also within that conservation area and would read the building as a vastly different building from the back. So we feel that we should surely be considered equally as the passers-by. Also, the residents on the inside of the building would be able to see both into our back garden in a most extraordinary way and into many of the gardens around us. And it means that it changes our amenity of life. The residents would now have unprecedented visual access to our back gardens. Also, the noise we feel would become a very big issue for us because the proposed changes are to add a rooftop terrace, add a first floor veranda, and there are no means of ameliorating or containing that noise in that we can see. Last, we also are very concerned about the changes that are to be made to the convict-built stone wall that is at our side wall in our garden and that runs along the back. And we propose that the wall be retained in its current form. So thank you very much for listening to me.
Right. Any questions by the panel?
No.
All right. Well, now we shall hear from the applicant. Firstly, Sean Carter, please.
Yeah, thank you, panel. And we'll just share the screen, so I've got a very quick presentation. Firstly, let me just address the neighbours' concerns. It's never the intention to have terraces impinging on neighbours' privacy. The roof terrace to the street's a very common thing in Balmain. That's all the way to the street. That's only about the street. It's a long way from the backyard. I believe the terrace off the bedroom, I mean, both terraces are off bedrooms or studies, so they're not party places or noise generation or the living areas on the ground floor. So I don't think they will affect the neighbours' privacy. One's adjacent to a roof, one's right to the street. So, but happy to consider privacy screens to that balcony off the bedroom if that's going to help with the issue. Can you see my screen on your screen?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I'll talk to... there's deferred commencements in the recommendation of conditions of consent. There's four deferred commencement. There's five deferred commencement conditions under A, which is A, B, C, D, and E. I propose that we would delete A, B, C, and D, and I'll tell you why. I think we should delete clause A, and this goes to the car park issue, because we've got historical references of that garage being there. So there's a 1958, a 1966, and a 1974 drawing that we've found on records that highlight that's always historically been a car parking space. And here's, so we've done lots of urban analysis to try and understand exactly what's going on here. Lots of driveways, lots of garages in this similar sort of built form on the street. I'll submit this information to you after this panel so you can see what I'm presenting to you in greater detail. Again, our urban design analysis shows lots of garages, lots of car parking. We did an analysis, you know, with this 50-metre, 100-metre, 200-metre, 300-metre radius to find 116 garages, 53 carports and 52 car parking spaces all off the street. Again, supporting that idea, that historical idea that this was always a garage and used as a garage, and Evans Street being one of three really busy streets within the LGA, that being Darling Street, Mullen Street, and also Evans. Evans is probably also the tightest. So we have lots of concerns around the safety of unloading and loading children, and we'll speak to that further in this process. We also believe, not what the council says, that we're taking away one parking spot, but at best it's neutral or no net difference in car parking spaces. There's some historical references, images used in the council assessment. I know all those cars are parked in front of the driveway. That driveway was removed at the time of sale, so that driveway had always been there and the council had removed it without anyone's sort of notification. So when the new owners bought the property, that was then suddenly gone. So we think historically that this has always been a driveway, it's always been a garage and should stay. I do note that council are worried about losing car spaces, but are proposing to put a new pedestrian crossing one property further along that does remove a car parking space. So I think our proposal doesn't remove a car parking space. I think the council proposed pedestrian crossing, which we don't have a problem with, lest a verge going a little bit too long, further reinforces the case that we should go back to that historical reference of keeping that car parking space within the existing building. Here's some imagery of that space and where the driveway has existed. Again, I'll send this to you so you can go through. I'll move quickly because there's a bit to go through and I haven't got too much time. We also would like clause B deleted. It talks about this frontage and the existing carriageway. I do note, and you can see the bottom left-hand image on the screen, and again, you'll see it in the presentation, it's already falling apart and we've had to deploy a builder just to maintain this wall not falling over. The top drawing is the existing condition, the bottom drawing is the proposed. As you can see, very difficult to the casual passerby, let alone trained professionals like yourselves, to see much difference in what happens just slightly extending the carriageway. James Phillips will talk after me and talk about this being a building in a HCA and not a heritage item and why reinforcing that side wall is necessary. We'd also like clause C deleted. This talks about the, we've got a rooftop study, these roofs, but these third level extensions that sit behind parapet walls are a very common thing in Balmain. We'll show you some imagery here. It's important to understand the context. When you stand there and you look at the building, and this building is very tall in a very tight street, it's very hard to see anything. We think that the council recommending that we lower the roof of that study. The study is currently 2.7 tall. If we lower that by 400 mils, we'll go to a non-compliant 2300, non-compliant to the NCC or the BCA. Again, when you're looking at perspective and looking up really steeply, you're going to see what, even with this roof as it's proposed at the same height as the castellations, but recessive and subordinate to those castellations, we don't believe you'll ever you'll see it from the castellation side. You will get a vague oblique view from the sides. Again, when you're driving along or walking along, you're going to have to want to look up three stories. This is the concept. These imagery show the context of moving up and down Evans Street. It's going to be very hard to see that. But in any case, being recessive and subordinate to the existing structure sitting inside the line, we think is perfectly fine because we can find this context all along Darling Street, Evans Street, and within the context of that immediate vicinity. So even though you will see some of it, we think that's perfectly fine. I would note that if we apply the setbacks that have been asked for by council, we do create waterproofing issues. All these examples here that you see built in the LGA, they sit just behind the parapet so you can flash onto it and you don't create a waterproofing issue. If we set it back a metre, we then go on to create a waterproofing issue. The fourth item we'd like to delete would be D of deferred commencement A, which is around that rock wall to the rear and understanding what the neighbours saying, and we're just as conscious of this old sort of rubbly built wall as neighbours are. In fact, it's our intention to really look after and preserve these. We think that they're, you know, it's not a heritage item, but it's a building in a HCA. So we're just going to manage the integrity of that wall so it will be fine. The structure will be independent of that wall, and that existing roof that's sort of ramshackle and falling down will be removed and replaced with a new and independent structure that's sitting off the wall. But we will look at that wall and make sure that structurally its structural integrity is sound, and we have to do that within in consultation with the neighbours and council, because that wall is part of the whole charm of why the neighbours bought this property and also why we're looking to maintain its integrity. There's a fifth clause there, clause E, in that deferred commencement A, and we're happy with that.
All right. Any questions by the panel?
No.
No questions by the panel?
No.
All right. Then we've heard from the architect. We have a request from the heritage expert, James Phillips, to address the panel. Is James Phillips there, please?
I am. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I'd like you to, in particular, to address the concerns raised by the neighbours.
You'd like me to address those?
Yes, please.
I'm not sure how I do that, in that the reduction of the rock wall height seems to make sense, and the remedial work seems to make sense. I'm not sure, and I doubt the rock wall is originally convict made, but as an early wall, we'll be respecting it and looking after it. That would be my response to that. It's the walls have to be structurally sound, and this requires work to make it structurally sound. The other point I wanted to make on behalf of the owners was that the front elevation of the building providing sufficient width for the garage or for an off-street parking space makes a valid contribution to the streetscape, in that at present, close examination of the front elevation shows that there's been work happening to it, to a point where if you look at this current drawing, the wall between it and its neighbour is only one brick deep, which is insufficient to carry the weight of the original building above it. And I believe this has been altered at some stage. It would be sensible to make that a wider pier, which appears in this drawing, and then to widen to make a garage door. There's plenty of evidence of the original shop front, which needs quite considerable repair. And to repair this in a way that makes it slightly narrower in order to accommodate the width of the driveway, I think would be a very valid and sensible way of proceeding.
All right. Any questions by the panel?
No.
No. Sorry, Mr. Chairman. I've just got one quick question for both the architect and heritage architect. And based on the comments by the neighbour, if a privacy screen, visual privacy screen, was to be added to the top of that that open deck, how would you both feel? I think Sean has said that could be accommodated. Do you think that would have any detrimental effect on the heritage? James?
I don't think it would be have a detrimental effect. Verandas of that nature on buildings often had screening, were often enclosed. So it would be very typical and could be made to look very much as though it was part of how a veranda had been treated over time.
Right. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
All right. Anything else, panel? Then Steve or Simone Ryan, please.
Hello, I'm Simone Ryan. I just want to say hello to everybody and especially to our new neighbours. So unfortunately, we're meeting for the first time. I wish it could have been under better conditions. I guess I wanted to speak to what this home means to us and what this project means to us. We absolutely love the historical and heritage concept of this home. We walked in and could not have been more excited by the sandstone, the several histories that these houses had, including the boarding house, including the butcher, the gallery space, etc. We have no desire in our hearts to do anything but to preserve and enhance this particular building and restore it back to the beauty that it's historically had. In saying that, we also recognise that we are a modern family with modern needs, and in order to accommodate the way that we choose and want to live, there are some adaptations and compromises that we're looking to make to the heritage elements of this home. But we believe that those changes, including widening the or altering the shop front, are a small change for an overall massive net gain for the house, and you know, bringing that back to a beautiful home that can be respected by the community and by ourselves, we believe is a positive outcome. I also just want to reference to the neighbours. We completely understand any thoughts that your privacy would be compromised. It is something absolutely that we would consider working with and understanding how we can enhance privacy aspects to accommodate exactly what your concerns are. As Sean mentioned, both of those spaces are off bedrooms and studies, and we would be planning to do any of our main entertaining and our children's activities down in the main area rather than in any place that would compromise. But as we said, looking to understand and work with anything that needs to happen there. Returning to the garage, I just want to mention two aspects that are particularly important for us on that. We're looking to the future. We are looking to build quite a sustainable home. Looking to have electric cars in the future, and being able to have a garage enables us to adhere to council's requirement and desire to increase our number of electric cars. We also have concerns about safety, it being Evan Street. It's a busy road. We have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. Having a garage again just allows us to improve the safety for our children getting in and out of the car. So I guess, in essence, we just want to reiterate that we love this home. We want to restore it. We want to enhance it. And that's our main intention. But of course, we are always, have to recognise that there are a few compromises that need to be made along the way to make that happen. Thanks.
Any questions, panel?
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
No, thanks, David.
All right. Thank you for that. What we will have to do is consider what's been put to us. And we will do that and publish our determination in due course. And I thank you all for your input. So with that, we can move on to item number 7. Number 2.
Thank you very much.
All right. Item number 7, number 2, Goodsir Street, Rozelle. This has been recommended for refusal. And I have to say that the panel is minded to adopt the recommendation for refusal. We do have a number of people who wish to speak against this development, but I will say this, since the panel is minded to refuse the application for the reasons set out in the assessment report, do any of you wish us to change our mind?
No, thank you. That'd be great.
So if none of you wish us to change our mind, the panel's determination will be to refuse the application. We'll be tweaking some of the reasons. I mean, we don't have any objection to the driveway being used for parking, for example, but the particular development on this block of land is not acceptable.
Sorry, just on that, can I just talk a little bit about the driveway, or is that not appropriate?
Well, the applicant will have to come back with another proposal, presumably.
Okay, great, thanks. Yeah.
All right, anything else, panel? If not, then that will be the determination. Thank you very much. So now we move on to item number 8, Wardell Road, Dulwich Hill, recommended for approval. We have someone who wishes to speak, Melissa Rodriguez, who is the town planner for the applicant. Is Ms. Rodriguez here?
Hello, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'm here.
Yep. You've seen the recommendation for approval. Are you content with that?
We are. I'm really here if there are any questions of the panel for me or the application.
What we're going to do. All right. Any questions by the panel?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No. Excuse me, Chairman. Somebody is speaking and I can't hear.
2 weeks ago. There's a boy. So there's about a 300-400 mil.
I don't know who's speaking, but Ms. Rodriguez, the panel is minded to approve of this application. We think it is a good development and we are happy to adopt the recommendation. Are you content with that?
We are, thank you.
All right. So that will be the determination. The development will be approved in accordance with the recommendation. So now we move on to item number 9, 35 Church Street, Birch Grove. This is an application to add additional units to an existing multi-dwelling development to provide 5 additional dwellings. It is recommended for approval, but we see that there are a number of people who wish to address the panel. Firstly, Paul Connor, please.
Hello. Yes, I'm the architect. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. Really, I only wish to say that we're happy to accept the conditions with regard to privacy. If there are any questions, happy to answer them.
Any questions, panel?
No, thank you. Oh, yep, I've just got one question. Hello, Paul, Kim, Christine.
How are you? Yeah, how are you, Kim?
I didn't realise it was one and the same, but Nice to see your face. I've just got one question that has been concerning me in terms of actually constructability. When you do this project, are the people going to be living below? Moving out?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They would like to, but I've said no.
Good. Okay. Well, you've answered my question 100%, so I appreciate that because we don't want any bad front pages of the Daily Telegraph saying there's a catastrophe in the area. So thanks for that.
Catastrophe is averted. See
good.
You soon.
Okay, good due diligence. Thanks so much, Paul. Okay. Thanks.
Bye. All right, the next speaker I have on my list is Sybilla Mason.
Hi there, I'm Sybilla Masons here with Paul. Also, just wanted to say that I'm happy with the conditions.
All right. Then Warren Long, please. Is Warren Long?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, look, I'm the town planning consultant for the applicant, and we prepared the clause 4.6 exception statement in relation to the floor space ratio standard. The officer has provided a detailed analysis of the clause 4.6 and recommended that it be supported. And other than that, I would contend the recommend the recommendation to the panel, and we support the recommendation and the conditions therein.
Any questions, panel?
No, thank you.
All right. Next, John Price, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yep. I only just wanted to make one comment. Firstly, we also, as a group of five individual owners, as you can appreciate, quite a challenge getting five all together wanting to make a change to improve the streetscape and living conditions. So it's quite an effort, but we've managed to keep it all together. We thank the council for their support. I just had one query in my mind, and that was in relationship to the contribution. We're a group of individual owners. We just happen to be living in cooperation in one building, and I just wondered whether there'd be some consideration to either remove or reduce the contribution that we would have to make that we wouldn't have to make, of course, if we were an individual house owner making a change such as this.
The problem is, Mr. Price, is that by introducing an extra five dwelling units, the carrying out of that development would result in an increased demand for public amenities and public services within the area. And the council, in every case like this, requires a contribution in order to offset the cost of providing those facilities for which these units will create an additional demand. If you don't pay it, who do you suggest should?
Mm-hmm. Understand.
I mean, this is a standard requirement whenever additional units are introduced into a development, and for that purpose,
and it's specifically related to
the increased demand for public amenities and public services caused by the additional number of people you are introducing into the area.
Actually, yeah,
that's the reason for it. And it's calculated in accordance with a formula which applies throughout the area.
I see. And it applies to any sort of any building that's got a multi dwelling, is it?
Any development which increases the population and which thereby results in an increased demand for public amenities and services.
Okay, sorry, I didn't realise. So that applies to houses as well. So if somebody adds a bedroom.
No, it would apply if you were, say, going to add a granny flat or something, an additional household.
Okay. But no, sorry, I just thought that we're actually, you're quite correct, we are adding a bedroom, and it may increase the number of people living there at the time. So If that's how it's set, then we thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. I mean, if we don't apply it here, then others will say, well, it shouldn't apply to us either. So it applies universally throughout the council's area.
Okay, thank you, David.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just request one issue that I've noticed in error, it's in the conditions.
Yes, please.
Page 719 erroneously refers to copper as the roof. In fact, it's copper colour. I'd like the applicants to indulge in a fully copper roof, but our finisher schedule notes rusty coloured colour bond or copper colour is fine by us. If you just wish to insert one word, colour, on page 719.
That sounds like a good solution, because if copper is said and you can't and they can't afford it, then yeah, it's a bit of a, you've got to go back and get that app, that condition changed.
What condition is this?
It's the second, that's the penultimate line, second line from the bottom on page 719. It is in the commentary following.
Copper sheeting.
Copper sheeting. It's in fact should be copper coloured sheeting, or if you like, as the finisher's schedule notes, rusty coloured colour bond.
And does this appear in the conditions anywhere?
Yeah, that's what I was just looking for. It's not in the conditions. It doesn't matter, does it?
I'm not sure. That's the only reference. No, it doesn't appear in conditions, I believe.
It requires an amendment to a condition about materials and uses the word copper sheeting, but it then goes on to say it's to be corrugated iron roofing.
That is referring to an earlier pre-DA request to change its corrugator iron, and the reference on page 719 is commenting on that early recommendation, saying that in fact the copper sheeting is appropriate. So it's just commentary, it's not a condition, but nonetheless is in error.
If this hasn't been replicated in a condition,
should be all right, isn't it? Yeah.
Then we don't need to amend the condition.
Okay.
And if...
Just for clarity, sorry, if I could just ask a question, Mr. Chair. On page 731, the documents, DA18 issue B, proposed material palette,
yes,
that you've provided, does that say specifically the sheeting that you're using, not copper?
It says specifically rusty coloured colour bond.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so there's no conditions to change that.
Good, okay. Well, that sounds like a positive, yeah.
Well, if there is no condition changing that, then we don't have to...
To amend it.
To amend any condition.
Right, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. So that was item...
9.
We now move to item number 10, 41 Salisbury Road, Stanmore. And we have a number of people who wish to speak on that matter. First of all, Soraya Sara, please.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, how are you?
Good, you can proceed.
Okay, I just wanted to just speak about the DA proposed for 41 Salisbury Road, Stanmore. Sunlight to our kitchen, dining, family in our fresco area. We will never see morning sun again. We lose 70% of our afternoon sun to our swimming pool area, which myself, my husband and 5 children use all year round, as it's a heated pool. So I have like a private instructor come teach my kids to swim in the pool. We also lose afternoon sun to our private space where we have our sun chair. The building is above the existing ridge height and chimney, and because of this, we lose our iconic city views from our office and living area upstairs. This is where I spend most part of my day, as I work from home. Our children do their homework here, and my husband also does work from here too. Having five young children, this area of the house is my sanctuary, where I am able to have a little time out whilst looking out at our beautiful city and beyond. If this is completely taken away, I'll be devastated. Please don't take our son and views. I'm sure there is a way to work around this where both parties can be happy. Also, there is no other home along Salisbury Road where they have built directly behind the chimney and also higher than the chimney. This is going to make our streetscape look horrible. It doesn't follow suit, and it doesn't follow the Annandale Farm Land Heritage Conservation. Please, I ask that you have this DA reassessed and modified. I cannot imagine what this will do to our family. I really don't want to be forced to move elsewhere, as we love this area. So please, if you could just take this into consideration, you know, we're happy for them to modify it, and we're both happy. We do understand, you know, they're a family as well, but, you know, yeah, we just want you to kind of take this into consideration, please.
Any questions, panel?
Yes, Ms. Sayer, I'm wondering if you have seen the Council Town Planning written report.
Yes, we have.
Because there are some comments in there on changes that the council suggested as a result of things that you said. I think my book, it's page 813, but you probably don't have that numbering there.
I don't. So
were you able to read about what the council said about your submissions?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think after they even modified it, it still doesn't comply.
It mightn't comply, but there are reasons given.
Yeah.
Yep. So were you able to read the reasons given under issue and comment as part of the council's report?
No, I didn't read that there.
Right. There's explanations given as to why the council has recommended as it has done.
I think they recommended that they reduce it further, but they never did.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chair? Have you finished, Mary Lynn?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Going to that page, actually, Mary Lynn, 813, the view loss from your residence, they've said the council have concluded that there would be a view loss. Did council inspect the view loss from your property? Did any council officers come?
No one came to our property to inspect it, no.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions? All right. Edward Sara, please.
Hello, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Okay. 11 objections is the reason why we are here today. And I hope the local planning panel can support the 11 objections. We also have a petition with over 80 signatures from the lovers of Stanmore and the Inner West. The link is attached in my letter. For the council to state on the initial lodgement that you cannot remove the chimney, and for the applicant to resubmit a building directly behind the chimney and higher than the chimney, does not make common sense. The purpose of a chimney is to be above the ridgeline and at least have some breathing space around it. What's proposed is just a loophole to the system. This will be the first in this HCA. This isn't going to look right, and no other property in this HCA has a building behind a chimney. The lovers don't agree with the design. We believe the second story should have a further northeast setback to be in line with the interface of the chimney, in line with the proposed bedroom four. This is a 1.87 from the southeast boundary. This second story does not comply with its height and is completely visible from the street. So I ask, as I have lost furthermore than my existing less than 50% solar access due to this proposal, to reduce the side setback to 1.8 metres in line with bedroom four and further reduce its height for compliance. Give me my privacy, my solar access, and maintain my iconic city views. Caitlin Addard states, people predominantly don't use their pool in winter. My wife and I and our five children use our pool every single day, all year round, just like people who go to Bondi all year round to swim. We have swim jets and a pool heater. We lose our complete sun to our kitchen, family dining, and our fresco facing northeast, council has given us to an opportunity to object, but they have not taken any of this into consideration. We will never get sun again. We have no southeast facing windows to the kitchen, family and dining area, as this side is on the boundary. We are not allowed windows. Please consider this. Every two-story approval in Salisbury Road in the Annandale Farmland Heritage Conservation Area has always been determined based on neighbouring properties. Not one second-story addition has been approved with a neighbour having northeast-facing windows to their living, kitchen, family, dining, alfresco areas. Why should we suffer with so many non-compliances? If you look at the streetscape, every property with a second-story addition is either freestanding or it's got a gable either end, such as 11, 11A, number my property 39, number 23 is freestanding. This is a terrace. If you see the steepness of its pitch and rafters, this is going to be completely visible. If we reduce its height, if we reduce it to the side of the chimney, that will still maintain two bedrooms. They will still get what they like, but I'm sure we will gain more solar access than what we've lost because we've already less than 50%.
Excuse me, Chair, that's 3 minutes.
Will you be much longer, Mr. Sylar?
I'm happy to answer any questions or any queries you may have. And I hope you have all read my letter because my letter also reflects back to the report that was given, shadow diagrams and so on.
We have your written material. Any questions, panel?
No.
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 All right. Philip North, please. Is Philip North there?
I am. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, present.
Good afternoon. Philip North with Phillips Heritage and Planning. I'm representing the neighbouring property at number 39, which is to the south of the proposal and which from which the previous speakers are from. Now, as you've already heard, my client's concerns are overshadowing and view loss. In particular respect to overshadowing, I note that their rear private open space currently receives marginal solar access. Mostly in the morning, it gets very little in the afternoon or none in the afternoon after about 1 o'clock when because of the orientation of the site, the private open space is overshadowed by the building itself. With the subject proposal, the marginal solar access that they currently receive in the morning would be reduced to very minimal. With a view to addressing that, I have suggested a couple of minor modifications to the proposal, which could readily be conditioned. They were forwarded earlier today. I don't know if they've been circulated to the panel.
You tell us what they are.
I certainly can. Am I able to share my screen, Chair?
If you can, yes.
Is that possible? I will see if that works. Right, just bear with me. Right, is that visible?
Yes. Yep.
All right. Well, this is my suggestion. If you look at the section BB, you can see that the addition sits atop the lounge room, the study, the bathroom, the kitchen, not above the dining room. I think the applicant's attempting to retain the existing ceiling and build directly above it, which is constructionally certainly a lot easier. But the resultant ceiling height in those rooms would be a good 3.2 metres, which is pretty comfortable and generous in anyone's language. Should they, for example, take a slightly different approach and reduce the ceiling height in those rooms to, say, 2.7 metres, which is also considered extremely acceptable, certainly for a lounge room and definitely for a study bathroom and kitchen. And then, because they're reconstructing the floor structure, that would reduce the first floor structural zone. Then they can apply a 2.4 metre ceiling height for bedrooms, also perfectly acceptable. That would lower the overall height by, I think, in the order of 700 or 800 millimetres. The effect of that would be, certainly at midday, to reduce the overshadowing by about 1.3 metres. Now, if in addition to that, they increase the side setback as shown on this marked up drawing here, that would increase the amount of solar access to the rear private open space to a total of 1.5 metres over and above what's currently proposed. That's at midday. And still, the proposal would contain two bedrooms upstairs, a bathroom and a stair, and it would still be perfectly workable. So essentially...
3 minutes.
No, please continue. What is the side setback shown on that drawing you have?
I beg your pardon?
What is the side setback you've suggested?
Bear with me. So that side setback, the side boundary is angled, but it would be in the order of about 1.9, between about 1.8 or 1.9 metres. But there are two possibilities here. Both of them, either one or both, could be applied. I think the key change would be lowering the overall height. Increasing the side setback back would add an additional advantage. Another beneficial change would be to delete the eave overhang on the southern side. Currently, there's an eave overhang which is about 500 mils. That doesn't really perform any particularly useful function, but it does increase the overshadowing incrementally. So with that in mind, I've suggested three conditions which could be added to condition two, which is a condition dealing with design changes. I don't know if that's, once again, I don't know if that's been forwarded to the panel, but condition, say, 2F, additional condition F, could reduce the ceiling height of the ground level to 2.7 metres and first floor to 2.4. I've suggested some RLs which could be applied in any condition. Then we can have a condition G, which could delete the first floor eave overhang on the southwestern elevation. And finally, a condition 2H, which could stipulate that the southern setback of bedroom 3, the bathroom and the stair be increased by 700 millimetres, as shown in my sketch, to align with the southern wall of bedroom 4, and the stair, the internal stair, be adjusted accordingly. But one or all, or I suppose none of those conditions could be applied, but they would all still be result in a very workable and satisfactory scheme with quite acceptable amenity.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Mr. North, if that was a condition that was imposed by this panel, would that interfere with the original chimney on the site?
No, not at all. It would actually give a little bit more breathing room around the original chimney, but I think all of those elements are fairly detached from the chimney. I suppose the advantage would be that the addition would be 700 millimetres lower and would retain a little bit more prominence to that original chimney.
Thank you. No further questions?
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Chair. Yes. Thanks, Philip. We only saw this information this morning and just prior to the meeting, so I haven't had a good chance to interrogate it, your submission. I've just got a couple of questions. Were you able to do any shadow diagrams to test which of your two propositions gave the best benefit? How much loss of solar is gained by your potential change A and change B? That's part one of the question. And secondly, the height of buildings permissible is way above what is proposed. So in fairness and so on, how would you feel that this is a specific situation that needs a compromise? And then the last bit that goes with the question that couples it is the applicant, the objector, Mrs. Sarah, has said that she'll lose her view, and we understand issues of view sharing. Do any of your changes actually improve that view or not really?
I better go to the first question first.
Yeah.
I was engaged late on this matter, so I haven't done a comprehensive overshadowing analysis. Yeah. A quick thumbnail analysis of the geometry suggested to me that the first conditions, those the lowering of the height and the removal of the eave overhang, would result in another approximately 1.3 metres solar access at midday. That's, you know, given a sun angle of 33 degrees in midwinter.
Yeah.
This is all done by hand, by the way. I'm not computer whiz with 3D solar access. If you increase the side setback, as I've suggested, that 1.3 would increase to 1.5. So the majority of the benefit would be gained from the reduction in height, and you'd get another 200 mils benefit from increasing the side setback. And of course, that would vary over the course of the day, depending on whether it's noon, 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. Now, in response to your, remind me, what was your second question?
Oh, just the you know, the height.
The view.
It's actually underneath the height limit.
Oh, yes, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, that's all right. Maximum permissible 9.5, and it's under at 6.8, by a long shot.
No, that's correct. Look, all I would say is that the planning control, the maximum height allowance is not as of right. It's a development standard which needs to be considered in combination with all the other applicable standards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like a Rubik's Cube. They all need to work together. Of course, it needs to be combined with consideration of solar access. In many circumstances, you may not be able to achieve the maximum height.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of view loss, I think once again, I was engaged late on this matter, so I can't give you an authoritative answer on this, but the current view is constrained by the existing rear ridge line, which the subject site shares with number 43. And that's about, it's about 1.2 metres lower than the proposed height. So anything above that theoretically could start to impinge upon the view. What I've suggested is a structure which is about 400 mils above that existing ridge. Now, I don't know if that's going to wipe out the entirety of the view, but I'm just not familiar enough with the site. I'm guessing that it might retain at least some of the view.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Right. Any other questions, panel?
No, thank you.
Can I?
All right. Well, we will have to consider what's been put to us, and we will do that and publish a determination in due course.
Am I able to talk?
Thank you for your input. So with that, we can now move on to item number 11. Now, we do have, is Mr. Favolaro there, please? In item number 11, which is the proposed development in Gladstone Street, Newtown.
Good afternoon, sir.
Mr. Favolaro.
Yes, speaking.
we have read and understood the submission that you've supplied us with from Anthony Wheely of Mills Oakley. And I have to say that the panel agrees with it. The assessment report refers to a superseded modification application, which has subsequently been amended. And what we need is an assessment report of the amended modification application, which would mean that we cannot consider this matter today. Do you follow that?
Yeah, so the purpose of registering to speak today was essentially to reiterate what's set out in the legal advice letter prepared by Mills Oakley and requested the panel defer the matter until such time that council complete an assessment on the appropriate set of plans. And prior to the legal advice letter being commissioned, this was, I guess, advised to council three times late July as a let me know that they're going to determine this application or prepare a report based on an old set of drawings. And I advised of a procedural error in doing so. However, they said they're going to proceed with the report regardless. It's frustrating because I've had to spend money commissioning a report from a lawyer firm. And in essence, the amended plan seek to address the withdrawal letter issued by council in March. So we simply just request an assessment be done on those set of plans so that we can move forward.
Well, you, I take it, agree with the course that I propose, namely that we do not determine this application. We defer the matter until we receive an assessment report based on the amended modification application.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, all right. That's all we can do.
Thank you, Chair.
And I think that concludes this public meeting. The panel.
Sorry, can I just ask? Excuse me. Can I just ask? This is 2 Gladstone Street, right? You're talking about.
Who's speaking?
Hello. It's Peter Mansfield. I did register to comment, but obviously it seems like it's been superseded. But I just did have a question.
Yes, what is your question?
Okay, so I'm in 21 Phillip Street, which is backs onto Phillip Lane, which is one of the boundaries of the development. My house, well, I bought the house 2 and a bit years ago, and the house has existed since then. And it never appears on any of the plans in the development application. And nobody from council has come to look at what the impact of the development is on our house. So I just don't understand how you can submit a proposal that doesn't have the... It's got all the other houses on the plans of the surrounding streets, but not ours. And there's been no inspection. I raised this verbally in the previous sort of application, and council didn't come and look and didn't do anything. And so this is the main point I put in my objection is we still do not have our house shown on the development application. So you can't assess the overshadowing, you can't assess the loss of view, you can't assess anything. I just don't know how you can allow application to keep going in without the full information.
Well, that is a matter for the staff to consider in preparing the further assessment report. We can't deal with this application today. It'll have to come back with a further assessment report to another panel, which may well be constituted differently by different personnel. And you will have an opportunity to address them. But as I said before, we cannot consider this application today. It will have to be the subject of a fresh assessment report.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So with that, we can now conclude the public meeting.